In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you read the scriptures a lot, you sort of fall into a sort of a rhythm, sort of a way of just sort of imbibing them. And you have to become comfortable with them. It's just like anything else. You have to become comfortable with it. You have to become conversant with it. You have to become conversant with the words. Maybe there are words that are archaic and you have to remember them. They need to become part of your vocabulary. The peculiar ways of expression. And the scripture has many kind of peculiar sayings in it. And if you keep reading them, then you become familiar with them. And then you can read the scriptures sort of like, I read the scriptures very much like a hunter. I'm hunting. I'm looking for something that will feed me. So I'm really trying to have something that resonates in my soul when I read the scriptures. And fortunately, because I've read them so much, it really comes pretty easily. And it will come easily to you if you do it. Now, if you don't do it, it won't come to you. That's just as simple as that. That's really for anything in life. If you don't do it, you won't be able to do it. So it's really important to read the scriptures regularly, not just because you say, okay, I have to read a certain reading every day. I have to read the reading for the calendar, and then I'll move on to the rest of my day. And now I've fulfilled that bit of my day that's important. That's good to do. But also to try to cultivate that you read the scriptures for comfort, for spiritual comfort. I encounter people in many walks of life since I go to prison, and I've been in every kind of place in a town you can think of. And people are looking for comfort. Everybody is. Every single one of us is looking for comfort. And if we look for comfort in things that don't give comfort, then we have no comfort. That might sound like a silly thing to say, but it's even more of a silly thing to do. And that's what we do. Now, if we read the scriptures looking for comfort, we're reading truth. And we're learning about truth and how to make truth active in our life, since after all, truth is Jesus Christ. So you will find comfort for whatever you're going through. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter. Depression, loss of a job, an illness, somebody who's not doing well in your family, somebody who committed suicide, all of those things, plus more. Whatever it is that goes on in your life, you find comfort by reading about what's really true. And that's what the Gospels are. They're about what's really true, or they are about a really true understanding of what is false, which is just as important. The world is constantly telling us things that are true that are not true, and also telling us things that are false and they actually are true. But the gospel is always correct. But you have to kind of learn it and have a skill in reading it. This is how I'm going to approach this gospel from Luke today about the Lake of Gennesaret and the catch of fish, because it has given me great comfort through the years. Now, I always attach this gospel to another gospel where they caught fish, but that's because I've read the gospel so much that it comes to me very readily. So that's where you need to continue to read the gospel, and then you make that connection right away. I hope you make that connection, because the first catch of fish, the boats almost sunk. The second catch of fish, there were many fish, and the net did not break, and the boat didn't sink. And Peter's reaction was different in both cases, too. In the first case, he was afraid. He saw his sins, and he said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." But what did he do 3.5 years later? He threw his fisher's cloak on him, and he plunged himself into the sea, and he swam the several hundred meters, perhaps it was, or less, to get to the shore so that he could get there as fast as he could. There's a lot of spiritual meaning in this. So I'll just show you, I guess, sort of as I'm reading the scriptures, sort of as things jump out at me. So it came to pass, the people were pressed upon him to hear the word of God as he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, or Sea of Galilee. It's the same place. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone onto them and were washing their nets. When you read the rest of this, you find out that was a life-changing experience for them. They left their nets, they left everything, and they followed Christ after this experience. But in the beginning of the day, they were washing their nets. That was it. It was just a regular work day, just a regular old day. Many times, I have had regular old days where things have happened that I did not expect. Many times, I learned as a priest, many times I would be very dejected about something. And I'd come to church and I'd make a joke with my wife. She doesn't think it's that funny, but I would say, I want to be a parishioner today and not go to church. She'd scowl at me. That's not a very good joke, really. I'd go to church anyway, of course, because I wanted to, really, in my heart. And something miraculous, something spectacular would happen. Not the kind of thing that you can really write down and make a news article about, but something that touched my heart. Happened again and again and again when there were ordinary days. I don't think there's any ordinary days in Christianity. They might appear to be ordinary, but they are not. Something extraordinary will happen to you today. It happens to me every day that something extraordinary happens, even though the day feels ordinary. So these fishermen were just doing all the hard work of washing their nets and mending them. And he enters into one of the ships, which was Simon's. He has him go out a little bit from the land, and he starts speaking. And of course, what he must have said must have captivated everyone. When the Lord spoke, he didn't speak just as another man. He was man and God. And therefore, he didn't speak like anybody else. He spoke with authority. The reason he spoke with authority was because of experience. Because the things that he talked about, he did. And he knew. So people could understand that. They could understand his experience. Could you imagine sitting in the boat with Jesus Christ speaking out to the faithful? Or to the unfaithful, too, for that matter. Could you imagine that experience? Could you imagine how something in your heart might be moving, like the road to Emmaus? Reminds me of that. When Luke and Cleopas are walking on the road to Emmaus and Jesus is walking with them, but they can't recognize him because of their sorrow and their sadness. And it's the day of the resurrection, but they don't know there's a resurrection yet. And Jesus says, "Why are you walking and are you sad?" And they explain everything to him. And then he starts explaining to them all the scriptures that relate to Jesus Christ, to himself. And then they still didn't understand, but can you imagine at that time, that 6-hour walk or so, that their hearts were burning within them, they said. There was a certain beginning to understand. Don't you feel that sometimes, that beginning to understand, but you can't quite touch it, you can't quite reach it yet? It's like having a word on the tip of your tongue, except this is having something that's beautiful and amazing, right almost within your reach, but you can't quite reach it yet. I think this is what Peter must have felt as Jesus was sitting in the boat speaking. And of course, eventually he left off speaking. And then he told Peter something very inexplicable, he didn't understand why he told him to do it at all. He said, "Launch out into the deep and put your nets down for a draught." And Simon had fished all night long. And the best time for catching fish was at night. He didn't catch fish during the day with the technology they had, with those big, thick nets and everything. They didn't catch fish during the day. They didn't fish during the day. So what does he say? He says, "We've toiled all the night, and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." When I hear him say, "We have toiled all the night," I hear myself. Because many times I've felt I've toiled all the night and nothing's happened. I prayed about something, nothing's happened. I struggled for something, nothing's happened. I have some sort of, invest in someone and they disappear. That kind of thing happens all the time. And you have people in your life that come in and out of your life, and good things become bad things. And sometimes it doesn't seem like bad things become good things as often. So there's a despair, a sort of a despondency that is this dialogue that's happening. At least it happens in my head, and I'll bet that it happens in most of your heads, that you have this kind of dialogue, that you've toiled through the night and caught nothing. I get this with you, a lot of you, when you talk about reading the scriptures. You say the scriptures are so hard to understand. Well, yeah, they are, but not if you keep reading them, you know? When I first took a physical chemistry course, I thought it was absolute rocket science, and I was never going to have a chance. I ended up getting an A in it at the end. In the beginning, it was hard, but as I kept reading the book, I eventually understood it. It's the same thing with the scriptures. But there's this despondency that is part of our fallen character, that we say we've toiled all the night, we've caught nothing. But what is the response to despondency? What is the response to ignorance and to fatigue and to doubt? The scriptures tells us right here. This is the response every time. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So obedience precedes understanding. Always remember that. Obedience is before you understand. We have it backward in the modern world. In the modern world, people want to understand things, and then they say, okay, now I know why I should obey. It's not that way. Not in the Christian life. Is it that way with our children? Do we explain to our children all kinds of things about why they shouldn't go into the street? Or do we tell them not to go into the street and we punish them if they go near it? Right? Because they have to have obedience because they don't have the understanding yet. Eventually they'll understand how dangerous cars are and everything else. But in the beginning they don't. So we demand of them obedience. And obedience brings understanding to us, like as it were, like a magnet. So if you have despair, if you have doubt, if you have fatigue, then obey. And when you obey, then your understanding increases and things happen. And indeed, something happened here, right? It was much more than just a catch of fish. So they caught all these fish. Now, I suppose the story would have been pretty good if they caught all these fish and they brought this incredible haul of fish to the land with no problems. But that wasn't what happened, was it? They caught all these fish. Oh, I want to tell you one other thing. If you know the other story about the fish, the fishing. In the second story, the Lord says to them, let down your nets on the right side of the ship. That's a really good line for a pastor to know. And for a parent to know. Because he was telling them an explicit instruction. You do this this way. There is a right way to do it. In the beginning, he just said, just let down your nets. You can't instruct somebody with all kinds of particulars until they learn a few things. You can't expect someone who knows very little about something to be able to perform correctly as far as all of the things. We have the same idea in Orthodoxy, right? Or we should. We kind of have a standing rule in the church here that I'm the only one who speaks to someone about how they dress when they come in the church. And I've done it once in my life, in the whole time I've been a pastor. And in some churches, they're gonna talk to you. They're going to have a whole bunch of people that you have to go through. You're going to have to go through a gauntlet. You have to go through a gauntlet. And have all these people scowling at you because you're wearing pants or because you're wearing a t-shirt or because you're wearing shorts or something. Well, some people don't know. But eventually, they'll know. And that's not to embarrass anybody. I don't know what you're wearing right now because I don't have my glasses on. So, you know, you're all just nice little blobs to me. And it's not meant to embarrass anyone. It's just that we must teach people what they're able to hear. If you teach people more than they're able to hear and it overwhelms them, that's your fault, not their fault. So that's what the Lord did here. He said, let down your nets for a draught. But in the other time, after 3.5 years of seasoning, he said, you do it the right way. You let down your nets on the right side of the ship, which is truth. Right is always a symbol of truth and righteousness. They let down the nets, all the fish come, and the fish, the nets begin to break, and the boat, they get another boat, and that boat too begins to sink. The two boats begin to sink. There's so many fish. Why? Because attaining God's grace is a process. We can't take it all at once. It's just not possible. God wants to give us everything, but we can't take everything. We're not capable of it. We see this in life. We see this with our children, right? We want to have our children do everything, but they're not capable yet. Some of them cannot walk yet, or they walk a little bit, or they don't have language yet. We can only give expect of them what they're able to do. And we can only give them what they're able to do. We can't give them toys or things that are not safe. We can't give, I call Owen, axe man. I can't give him a real axe. I mean, that would be crazy. I did give him a stage axe that's made out of foam. But I can't give him a real axe. He's not ready for that. But eventually, he's going to be with his papa and we're going to cut down a tree. We're going to be, you know, hacking on trees with machetes and all kinds of things. But not when he's this old. You know, maybe when he's seven, huh? He's not ready yet. This is a very important thing. You're not ready for things yet. I'm not ready for things yet. Let's not try to get there so fast in a hurry. Let's just be obedient and let's let God's grace work in us. And that's indeed what God's grace does. He waits for us to be ready, and then God fills us according to our capacity, which should be ever increasing. So the boats are sinking, and eventually they get to land, and Simon Peter sees this as they're getting to land, and he's just overwhelmed by this whole process. And he realizes on this ordinary day when he was just cleaning his nets after a fruitless fishing trip that he's encountering God. It's a little bit too much for him. Just like too many fish broke the net, there was too much God for Peter because he realized he was a sinner. If you don't realize you're a sinner, you get nowhere in life. It's just not possible. Our culture doesn't like to talk about sin, doesn't like to think that there's sin. We just like to think Jesus Christ is just somebody who just pats people on the head and says, good boy. Well, that's not the way life is. The way life is that we have things that are impediments to God's grace coming into our hearts, and it's sin. And Peter knew that, and he felt unworthy. Now, he was unformed, and he didn't know that the very thing he was telling the Lord was the wrong thing to say. He shouldn't have said, depart from me. He should have said, help me, save me. But he was terrified by being in the presence of divinity, knowing his sin. And so he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. But that didn't last long because they got to the shore. And what did he do? He left everything and he followed Jesus. You can't be partial in the Christian life. It's just not possible. You can't be partial in the Christian life. If you're partial, you're actually not, it doesn't exist at all. You have to understand this truth. And I, time and time again in my life, when I felt like I've toiled all night, I haven't gotten anything, nothing's going well, I want to give up. Well, sometimes I have given up. Sometimes I have gone to sleep instead of saying my prayers, or sometimes I have just vegged out. But many times I've let down the nets, and every time I've let down the nets, something's happened. Every time. So you have to just keep doing that. You have to keep not listening to that voice inside of you, that conversation inside of you that says, don't trouble the master, the girl's dead. You have to not listen to that voice, and you have to let down the nets. You have to be obedient all the way, not a little bit. And if you do that, then your life opens up and grace comes to you. This is the reality that I want you to learn from the scriptures. I can't tell you how many people, especially in prison, that feel despondent about their circumstances, about the things they did, about the things that they can't make amends for, etc., etc., about the family that no longer talks to them. A lot of loss, a lot of terrible loss. I've staggered out of prisons before, so sad of what I've encountered. But this is the reality that we must have to be able to address that kind of problem. Because if we toil, without God, we get nothing. But if we toil in obedience to God, we get everything. It's really true. It will always work. So we toil in obedience, and God will bless us. That's the message that this gospel especially tells me. And I'll tell you, I need it to be told to me every single day. I need it to be hit over my head with a 2x4 every day, because I'm very stubborn about sometimes having this incorrect way of thinking in my head. I think you are too, the vast majority of you, probably 100%. Maybe anybody under 3 doesn't do it, but everybody else does. And you learn to think differently through prayer and the living of the Christian life, and through the input of the Word of God in the Gospels, and also in the other parts of the Gospel, of the Bible as well, especially the Psalter. The Psalter is my bread in the morning. I read it every morning. And I think you should too, but it's also the Gospels. So read the Gospels in this way. Read the Gospels that you're trying to sort of get, shall we say, to put it in a brutal way, kind of a crude way, a reality check. That's what you need. Every day you need a reality check. You need God to say, okay, dummy, this is the way really to think about life. You're thinking about it wrong. In fact, why don't you just stop thinking, and why don't you just do what I tell you? That's even better. And then grace comes, and enlightenment, and peace. It really works. Try it. May God help you in all things. Amen.